Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Nun Dalet. Now we're in the middle of the sugya of Rabbi Yehuda's extraordinary assertion that it's possible to be potter on both one of the two Isurim, in a case where someone sleeps with a mother who is also the wife of his father, and that he would only be chayiv for sleeping with his mother, so that if this were done b'shogeg, he would only be chayiv one korban chatas. And we were looking yesterday for an explanation of that, and we found out that Rava had a suggestion, which was a little bit complex, and we're going to find today, I'm not going to go over it, because the Braita itself that we're bringing as a raya to Rava goes through the entire limud exactly as we understood it yesterday. And I asked you please to remember to look up those psukim and to be well aware of them. Two of them were actually in Achrimos, and one of them was in Kedoshim, and it was those psukim that we needed to understand in order to get the full sense of what was happening here. So let me just remind you, we had in Achrimot, Ervat avicha ve'ervat imecha lo tegale, imecha hi lo tegale ervata. And it wasn't clear to us what ervat avicha meant. Did it mean actually sleeping with the father? Or was it just a way of referring to the father's wife? Turns out that that's central to the whole question over here. The next pasuk was, Ervat eshet avicha lo tegale, ervat avicha hi. That was clearly a reference to the father's wife. Now, in Kedoshim, which is generally where the onashim are mentioned, as opposed to the asarot, we have, Ve'ish asher yishkav et eshet aviv, Ervat aviv gila. Whoa, now this is very clear. Someone who sleeps with his father's wife is considered to be ervat aviv gila. So now we understand that ervat aviv does not mean sleeping with the male father. It means sleeping with the wife of the male father, which is the equivalent of ervat aviv. So that seems to change the whole equation, and that, of course, is where the onesh is mentioned. Mot yum tu, shnehem dmehem bam, and dmehem bam, you'll remember, we learned all of the other niskalim, as we saw yesterday, from Ov v'yid'oni, where we use that lashon of dmehem bam, and there it explains what does that mean, be'evan yirgimu otam. That's where we were up to yesterday. Today, we're going to go through the braita that actually looks at these psukim, and sees what we learn out of them according to the Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Yehuda. So remember, according to the Rabbanan, a person who sleeps with a mother who is his father's wife, which obviously doesn't always have to be the case, is going to be chayev two separate chataot. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, there for some reason, he's only chayev one. So Tanya Kavasi de Rava, we're going to look at this psukim and see that in fact, Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, this was not Rava's Kiddush. This is Rava's insight into what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And the reason that this Braita is a raya to Rava is because this Braita was obviously said by Rabbi Yehuda, since it's a Stam Sifra, and the Kabbalah that we have is that Stam Sifra, the Sifra, when it doesn't mention a Shita, is written by Rabbi Yehuda, and it represents Rabbi Yehuda's Shitas. So Tanya Kavasi de Rava. When it says ish in the overall pasuk, where we talked about sleeping with the wife of a father, so the deal over there is that ish, we started off, ish asher yishkav et eshet aviv, that's the pasuk in Kedoshim, that ish means not a katan. Asher yishkav et eshet aviv, now when it says your wife, your father's wife, that does not imply necessarily that she's your mother, obviously. That would include both possibilities. Mashma bein eshet aviv shehi imo, ubein eshet aviv shelo imo. So that is a reference to the father's wife, whether or not she is your mother. But how do we know that imo she'ina eshet aviv, where do we see that a mother who is not a father's wife is also considered to be the Isser of sleeping with an Erva. So in order to make that clear, Talmud Lomar, Ervat Aviv Gila. So since at the end of that pasuk, or in the middle of that pasuk, it calls the Eshet Aviv, the Ervat Aviv, that is left open, it's Mufne, because it doesn't, excuse me, it doesn't add anything to our understanding. It must be Mufne, so it's kept open in order to learn a Gzera Shava from this. Now we'll see what that Gzera Shava is as we go along in the Braita. But that is going to be the Makor for the mother. Now it continues on to say, Mot Yom Tov, and that obviously means Beskila. Says who? Hata Omer Beskila. Oeina Ela Ba'achat Mikol Mitot Amurot BaTorah. And so we have our standby answer to that. Ne'emar Kan D'Meyam Bam, Ne'emar Bavidom D'Meyam Bam, Mala Halam Beskila. So we know that wherever it says D'Meyam Bam, it always means Beskila. Okay, continues now the same Braisa said by Rabbi Yehuda. This teaches us in Achrei Mot the Onesh, D'Meyam Bam. But where does it say not to do that? Remember, in the Torah, we never are able to utilize an Onesh unless somewhere the Torah said that this was prohibited. Where does it say that this was prohibited? So Onesh Shemanu, Azara Minayin. So where is the Isser? Talmud Lomar, so that, in order to understand that, we have to go back to Achrei Mot. And Achrei Mot was, of course, mostly the list of the Isurim, not talking about the Onashim. So there it says, Ervat Avicha Lo Tegale. Now, Ervat Avicha refers to, as we're going to see, this is Rabbi Yehuda, Ervat Avicha refers to your father's wife. Well, I mean, why would Ervat Avicha refer to your father's wife? It says, Ervat Avicha ve'ervat imecha lo tegale. I don't understand. Isn't it both the same? If it says, don't sleep with a mother, then in that context, don't sleep with a father means don't sleep with a father. It doesn't mean don't sleep with the father's wife. What makes you think that Ervat Avicha in that pasuk is Eshet Avicha? Maybe it means exactly what it says. So, eina ela ervat avicha mamash. So it means not to sleep with by sodomizing your father. Ne'emar kan ervat avicha lo tegale. And here is where we discover that the two in Achrei Mot and in Kedoshim are interrelated. Because over here it says ervat avicha. And over there in Kedoshim it said very clearly, Ervat Aviv Gila. Now, it said over there, Ervat Eshet Avicha, Ervat Aviv Gila. So that means that the Pasuk is defining the nature of Ervat Avicha as being your father's wife. So if there it means your father's wife, Malahalan Be'ishuta Katuv Medaber, over there it's talking about sleeping with the woman that's connected to your father, Afkan Be'ishuta Katuv Medaber. So therefore, in the equivalent pasuk, which is talking about the Azarot in Achrei Mot, it's talking about the father's wife and not the father. And that would mean, so that would be mashma, ben eshet aviv she'imo, ben eshet aviv she'na imo. It doesn't say a word about a mother. It only talks about your father's wife. How do we know the mother? Imo she'ina eshet aviv minai. Oh, that's the next word in the pasuk in Achrei Mot. Ervat avicha, that means your father's wife. Ervat imecha lo tegale, that's your mother. Ah, but the problem is, the mother only shows up in Achrei Mot. And Achrei Mot is only the azhara. Where do we know that there is an onesh, the equivalent onesh, to the father's wife on the mother? Ein li ela ba'azhara, so when it comes to telling us that you're not supposed to be doing that, that's true. That makes no difference whether this is a mother who also is a father's wife or a mother who never was your father's wife. But how do we know that there is an onesh? onesh minayin. Maybe the onesh is limited to the actual wife of the father. Ah, now at last we get to that gzera shava that we spoke about before, left it mysteriously open, and we said it's mufna for a gzera shava. What is that gzera shava? Here it comes. Ne'amar kan ervat avicha lo tegalei, v'ne'amar lahalan ervat avicha gila. So that means we have that same language in Achremot as we do in Kedoshim. And just like in Achremot, it used those words to make in that same pasuk, ervat avicha, the same as ervat imecha, which was your real mother, not your father's wife. So just like when it came to warning us not to do this, asa hakatuv imo she'ina eshet aviv, ki imo she'i ken eshet aviv, so there it made very clear that it's exactly the same. There's a separate iser of ervat ha'em. Af ba'onesh, that means that in Kedoshim, when it was talking about the onesh of the Mehem Bam, the Gezerah Shava tells us that there too, it's utilizing that same word for a mother. And av ba'onesh, asa katuv imo she'ena eshet aviv, ki imo she'i ken eshet aviv. And therefore, we have both the Azorah and the Onesh to include both an Eshet Aviv and a mother. Now the question is, why does it say Imchahi? Obviously, your mother is your mother. What is this supposed to be? A Gertrude Stein poem of some kind? Yet don't sleep with your mother. She is your mother. Thank you very much. Ah, so Imchahi means you're only Chayev because she's your mother. But you're not chayev on her an extra korban if she is also your father's wife. Ah, exactly what Rava said was the meaning and the basis of Rabbi Yehuda's entire halacha. And so now we see that Rava was absolutely correct in his understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, because here the Braita written by Rabbi Yehuda says word for word what Rava said. So now we see that Rava was right. There's absolutely no reason for the Chachomim to have to consider why Imchahi doesn't mean anything, because as we will see, according to the Chachomim, the Imchahi is not addressing something that was in that pasuk that was about the father, because according to the Rabbanan, they have a completely different understanding than Rabbi Yehuda, because they're obviously not learning it to be the same as your Eshet Aviv, because if they did, then they'd be stuck with learning Imchahi the way Rabbi Yehuda does, and they don't say you're only Chayev one. They say, Beferish in our Mishnah, that you're Chayev two, one for sleeping with your mother, and one for sleeping with your father's wife, whether she would be your mother or not. So they obviously don't understand Ervat Avicha to be Ervat Avicha, so how, the way we do, to be your father's wife. So how do they understand Ervat Avicha? They say the pasuk means exactly what it says, Ervat Avicha, don't sleep with your father. What makes you say it means Eshet Avicha? But I don't understand. I thought you're not supposed to be sleeping with any male. Isn't that included in Et Zachar? Lotishkav, fathers are generally males, unless they live in the U.S., but otherwise they're considered to be males in other places, and therefore it should be included in the Isra of Etzachar Lotishkav. Yes, it absolutely is. But in the same way that you're ready to entertain the notion that there could be two Isurim on the same person, I mean, we talked about the Ashes Ish, who is also your daughter-in-law. There's also the same thing when it comes to males. There's a general iser of Ezachar Lotishkav, and then there is Ervat Avicha Lotagale, which is a specific male. What's so strange about that? So that would be Mechayev Shtayim, and it would be going according in the same way that Rev Yehuda brought out, not to be confused with Rev Yehuda the Tana, the Omer Rev Yehuda, Nochri Habal Aviv, a goy who sleeps with his father, and we're going to see that this is just because Rav Yehuda didn't want to talk about a Jew sleeping with his father, so he talked about a goy. But he really meant a Yisrael. So, Nochri Habal Aviv, Chayev Shtayim, that Enoch Inami, if he accidentally, he didn't know that this was Osir, and he sleeps with his father, he would be chayev two separate chataot, one for the Zohar in general, and one for Ervat Avicha specifically. The same thing would be true for someone who is Ba al Achi Aviv, would be Chayev Shtayim. When it says not to sleep with your father's brother, it also means literally the not Eshet, your father's brother, but your father's brother. And therefore, the same way we understand the father to be literal, same thing we understand Achi Avicha is a reference to your father's brother. And you would be Chayev Shtayim, one for the general din of Zohar, and one for the specific din of Achi Aviv. Omar Rav, I just want to make it very clear that even though Rav Yehuda pretended to be talking about a Goy, he was really talking about a Yisrael, for obvious reasons. There'd be no meaning in addressing this to a Goy. Because Mistavra Milta to Rav Yehuda be Yisrael, because what is the meaning of being Chayev two things? How can you be Chayev two Chayev Mises? Well, you're not. We're talking about a Yisrael, Bishogeg, and the question over here is how many korbanos you would need to bring. Okay, so that makes sense. And that would mean, so why did he say a Nochri? Because he just wanted not to say such a thing about a Yisrael. So, Lishnama al Yehu. He meant that as a euphemism for Yisrael. But it can't mean literally a Nochri, because a Nochri does not bring a korban chatas Bishogeg. It would only be Nogea killing him, and you can't kill him twice, can you? So what would be the point of adding up how many times he's Chayev? He would always dino mind you. What is the Chiev of sleeping with a Zohar for a Nochri? Ketola. So you can't kill him twice, can you? Betray Ketali Kataltale. I mean, so there's no point in discussing how many Isurim is over. So therefore, he meant, obviously, to be referring to Yisrael in a gentle way. Tani Nami Achi, Haba al Aviv Chayev Shtayim, Haba al Achi Aviv Chayev Shtayim. Now, some say that Braita is not going Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Didn't we say that the meaning of sleeping with your father is your father's wife? And here it's saying, if he sleeps with his father, he's chayev for sleeping with his father twice. So some say that, of course, that would mean it's not going like Rabbi Yehuda. However, there are others who say, actually, it could be going Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And even though Rabbi Yehuda does not use the pasuk of Ervat Avicha to mean your father, but he has another pasuk to tell you that you be chayev on your father. And what would that be? Well, that would be the pasuk of Achi Avicha, Ervat Achi Avicha lo tigale. So if Achi Aviv, which according to Rabbi Yehuda means literally not to sleep with your uncle, at least your paternal uncle. So Ma Achi Aviv is only a relative to you because he is your father's brother. And over there you're chayev twice, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because there's nothing to exclude it. And there's a separate iser of don't sleep with his wife, et ishtolo tishkav dat todat chayi. So that means the first part of the pasuk is referring to sleeping with the uncle himself. So therefore, if even on an uncle who's only related to you through your father, you would be chayev, kol shekein, and father himself would be chayev. And what is the Mandi Omar who holds, no, this is not like Rabbi Yehuda. What is the difference between them? It's an obvious machlokas. The machlokas would be the same as the famous machlokas, which we're going to have later on, between Abaya and Rava. So if you hold that this is an Isser and you're chayev twice according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we learn one out from the other, so we learn out from Achi Aviv, we learn out Aviv, that would be according to the Svara that Onashim Min HaDin. So when you have a Kal V'Chomer, you can utilize that Kal V'Chomer to actually be mechayev you. That's called Onashim Minadin, which is another Gavi issue, which will be written down as, in brackets, Ein, continuing Onashim Minadin. So that's the machlokas. Do we or do we not Onash Minadin? So Mar Sava Onashim Minadin. So according to Omar and the Omar, the Kal Vachomer is enough to be mechayev you an additional chatas. Mar Sava Ein Onashim Minadin. The other one who says it's Shalok Rabbi Yehuda, that's going according to Rava, who holds Ein Onashim Minadin. So that means we can't learn from the special Isser of sleeping with an uncle, we can't learn an Isser of sleeping with a father. Okay, now, according to the Rabbanan, we never understood, according to the Rabbanan, where would they get the idea? Because according to them, it doesn't say anywhere, don't sleep with your father's wife. Because according to them, it says, don't sleep with your father in Achrei Motz. But where does it say, don't sleep with your father's wife? Azara la'eshet aviv minalahu. So where do they learn that from? Oh, that's the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, ervat eshet avicha lo tigaleh. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is strange, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first pasuk that we mentioned in Achrei Motz, the first pasuk was talking about your father's wife. So why does the next pasuk simply repeat itself? It says, Ervat eshet avicha lo tigaleh, which according to Rabbi Yehuda was already stated when it says, Ervat avicha ve'ervat imecha. So how do you explain that? According to Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, that is the basis of the Azhara la'eshet aviv li'achar mita. How do you know that after a father dies, the relationship of him to a woman once upon a time is a permanent situation which is always going to define this woman as your father's wife, even if the father is no longer alive? Verabbanan. So, but according to Rabbanan, they need this pasuk for the basic issue of a father's wife. So where did they learn out that you can actually apply that iser even after the death of the father? That, they say, is from the repetition at the end of the pasuk. Ervat eshet avicha lo tigaleh ervat avicha. Well, obviously, ervat eshet avicha is ervat avicha, so why are we talking about it? That's in order to say that ervat avicha is to extend the yisr even after the death of the father. But according...
Really?
Yes?
It really keeps on going with the ksiv instead of the grief. It's ervat avicha he.
I keep saying who?
Yeah.
That's so strange. Are you sure? I have to listen to this. How in the world would I say... Well, okay, fine. All right. I hereby declare as a... Did in Atoras Nedorim, wherever I say who, it's he. Which is true, because translating who into English is he. So since we were talking in English before, I obviously meant who is he. Clearly. Anyway, if I did say that, it's obvious what I mean he. Anyway, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he knows that there is an Azara from the first pasuk, which is the Ervat Avicha. According to him, that's the Azara for sleeping with a father's wife. So how does he understand the repetitive Ervat Avicha in the Pasuk afterwards, the Pasuk Ches? So what does he do with that extra Pasuk that says Ervat Avicha? You're right. I did it again. But I already had announced the Heter Nedarim, right? Anyway, please keep reminding me. I can't imagine why I'm doing this. Okay, so what does he do with that? Maybe what does she do? No, what does who do? I think I'm getting confused, Barnea. So what exactly does Rabbi Yehuda do with that extra pasuk? He says that is to teach me another exclusion. And that's to teach me, you're only chayev for sleeping with your father's wife because it's your father's wife. But if she's also currently married to your father, you're not chayev twice, once for your father's wife and once for a general eshet ish. That's the point. Ah. But, uh-oh, that's against the Mishnah. I understand. And the Mishnah didn't say that. And Rabbi Yehuda, he didn't object in the Mishnah. V'anantnan habal eshet av. Chayev aleil mishum eshet av or mishum eshet ish. It says beferish not like that. It says that you'd be chayev either way, either for the eshet ish or for the eshet av. And if it's both, then you're chayev for both. And it says this doesn't matter. Bein b'chayov, bein lachar mitatov. Obviously, that was referring to the part about the eshet av, not the eshet ish. But anyway, did you see Reb Yehuda complaining? Well, Poli Reb Yehuda, he doesn't argue on this. He only argued on the part about the mother who is the eshet aviv. So obviously, he agrees that you're chayev twice. And now you're telling me that the only use that he makes of that extra unnecessary, those words, ervat avicha, is to tell me that you're only chayev for ervat avicha and you're not chayev for eshet ish, but that's not like the Mishnah. Rabbi, look, man, we do know that Reb Yehuda argues. It's true he doesn't argue in the Mishnah, because he already argued once about the idea of the mother who is the father's wife. But in the Braita, we find, beferish, that he does argue. Actually, some of the Rishonim say, we don't find it beferish, and that Abaye is making this up. So he's saying, look, if this is the only thing that he could learn from the Pasuk, then obviously this machlokas occurs somewhere else. It wasn't listed in the Mishnah. Okay? Anyway, now, getting into what the Rabbanan hold, it's true that they use the Pasuk to extend the Isser of Eshet Av to after the father's death, but that's only an Achrei Mot. Where do they see that there would also be a chiyav, because it doesn't have any indication in Kedoshim, that there is a continued Isser of Eshet Av after the death of the father? According to Reb Yehuda, there's no problem. Because remember, the basis, according to Reb Yehuda, to all of these limudim, was the Gezeirah Shavah between Achrimot and Kedoshim. So according to him, I can use that Gzeirah Shavah to apply the Azara to the Onesh and the Onesh to the Azara. It means that we're going to include whatever dinim we learn from one. So the same way that we have an Azara and Achrimos after Mises Ha'av. So now we have the Gzeirah Shavah that compares it to the Onesh in Kedoshim. But the Rabbanan don't have that Gzeirah Shavah. So they don't have that Mufdan that we said before. That Rabbi Yehuda said, and what do we need that pasuk for? That I'm going to tell you in a moment, the Gezeirah Shavah. That's keeping it open. Okay, but the Rabbanan don't have that. Where do they get it from? Well, they would say that in the same way that the Ervat Aviv Gila, which was in Kedoshim, which Rabbi Yehuda said, those words, Ervat Aviv Gila, they make no sense, and those are the words that I'm using to teach the Gzeirah Shavah, remember? So he learned out the Ervat Aviv Gila from Eshet Aviv, Ervat Aviv Gila, and applied it back to Achremot, to Ervat Avicha, but the Rabbanan don't agree with that. The Rabbanan hold that Ervat Avicha in Achremot means literally Ervat Avicha. So that extra phrase, Ervat Aviv Gila, which, according to Reb Yehuda, was the whole basis of the Gezeirah Shavah. The Mafkila Reb Yehuda Gezeirah Shavah, they say that is a repetition, it sounds like, but in reality, it's coming to add the Onesh for the extended Isser of Eshet Aviv Li'achra Mot Ha'av. That's the point. So after the father dies, I have the extra limud in Ervat Avicha Hi in Achrimot, and Ervat Aviv Gila is extending the Onesh of Dmei Hanbam in Kedoshim to even this extension of the Isser to after the death of the father. So in very different ways, each one of these shitos utilizes these psukim to mostly tell us the same halacha. And that means that what we're still left with that's open is that we don't know, according to the Rabbanan, where did it ever say the onesh for a mother who is not an eshet aviv? It doesn't say it anywhere. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a problem, because Rabbi Yehuda has the gzera shava that puts those two psukim together. So if that's the case, I know the onesh as well. But according to the Rabbanan, what is the basis of the onesh to the mother? And this is the Rav Shisha Bereder of Idi that we mentioned yesterday. And that is Omer Rav Shisha Bereder of Idi. According to the Rabbanan, that's the use of the words imchayi, which, according to Rava's pshat in Rebbe Yehuda, which was corroborated by the Braisa that we just had from the Sifra, which is Rebbe Yehuda, he used imchayi to tell me you're only chayav once on aim, and you're not chayav also for eshet avicha. So here too, the Torah says imchayi. According to the Rabbonin, it doesn't mean what Rabbi Yehuda says. It means, Asa'a ha-katuv le'imo she'ena eshet aviv, ki imo she'i kein eshet aviv. And so by repeating that imchayi, it tells me that they're exactly the same. It's a hekesh. And therefore, if the eshet aviv is a chiyav of a demeyam bam, so too is the demeyam bam a chiyav on imo, which is not eshet aviv. Moving on now in the Mishnah. This is a beautiful, beautiful example of the way in which we might end up deriving similar halachas, but from different diyukim in the pasuk, which end up with subtle differences, as we see over here, the subtle differences between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan halacha lemaisa. Now, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that if you sleep with your daughter-in-law, your chayev, both for normal eshet ish, assuming she's still married to your son, and for the halacha of a daughter-in-law. So she's an eshet ish and a kala. Now, why are we not mechayev also for a eshet beno? I mean, I understand that a kala is an eshet beno, obviously, but it says two different things in the pasuk. It says, "Ervat kalatcha lo tegale, eshet bincha hi lo tegale ervata." So it seems to be saying two completely different isurim. One of them, the isur that we're calling kala, and one of them, the isur that is called eshet aben. Now, obviously, it's the same woman, but if the Torah gave two separate lavim for it, so then you should be chayev twice, no? Omer Abaye, no, that's the point. Potach ha-katuv b'chalato, v'siyem b'eshet b'no, that is to tell me that that's the same thing, that zohi chalato, zohi eshet b'no, and that there's one isur here, and not two isurim, and that's the extra he. The he means this is the same. So eshet b'ncha he means the kala is the same iser. And therefore, there's not, in the Mishnah, any mention of three things. There's only two things. There's the eshet ish, assuming that they're still married, and then there's the kala. Which brings us to the next exciting episode from our unrecognizable kapitan, who has put a stovepipe on his head instead of his kapitan. He must be really angry today because there's smoke coming out of the top of that smoke. I think so. Huh? Move it. All right. Well, all right. Remember that Richie generates 200 watts. You know, that's the go ahead. So the next Mishnah moves on to a completely different type of relationship. It's very important for us to recognize, as we're going to see throughout the sugya, that in the Torah we have different definitions of relationships. On the one hand, we have the arayos, which we commonly take to mean a sexual relationship. Sexual relationship is the meaning of the act which normally mixes genes, and that's the point of sexual reproduction. In that sense, it's always going to be a relationship that makes sense genetically on some level. Then we have genital relationships that are not really sexual relationships in that sense at all. So we could have a relationship sleeping with an animal or sleeping same-sex intercourse. Now, that's not sexual the way the Torah views it. That is genital. Now, the Torah gives definitions to the sexual relationships, and it gives definitions to genital relationships. So the question of what constitutes a sexual relationship is also dependent, since sexual relationships utilize genitals, is defined by what the Torah considers to be genitals. Now, what the Torah considers to be genitals is not what your local family doctor considers to be genitals. So, for instance, your local doctor will consider a 2-year-old woman's vagina to be a vagina, and he will consider your 7-year-old son's penis to be a penis. A very simple definition of genitals. Furthermore, your local doctor will not consider the anus of either your daughter or your son to be anything that is genital at all, except in some strange Freudian sense. But it's not really genitals. But this is not true in the Torah. The Torah gives different definitions of genitals, and it gives different definitions of the interrelationship that we call the sexual relationship of these genitals. So therefore, it is possible to define a sexual relationship differently in the Torah than it's defined normally, and it's possible to define genitals differently than they're defined normally. So let's begin our Mishnah that discusses, which we find at the very end of the list of the relationships, all of which are sexual concepts, the relationships in Achremot, which ends with these sort of related to sexual relationships, which is sleeping with another male, or sleeping with an animal, or a woman who brings that animal to sleep with her. Either way, these are not really sexual relationships, but there's some strange genital relationship that is similar, and the Torah asserted it. But that's why it comes all the way at the end. And this is completely different from Kedoshim, because the element of Kedoshim is specifically not built around the sharing of genes. It's built around the concept of these genital that are viewed as similar to sexual relationships. So over there, it starts with things like Eishes Ish, where it's not really the same sexual in the sense of being related genetically, and goes on to discuss Zachor, Behema, Isha. Furthermore, a very important nakuda that Rashi explains here in the sugya, to be absolutely clear, the word Mishkav Zachur is not Mishkav Zachar. And there is no such thing as Mishkav Zachar. There's only Mishkav Zachur. What does that mean? It means that the reference to a male anus is a Zachur. It's a reference to a piece of the body. It's not a reference to the individual at all. And therefore, you can never talk about a Ba'al HaZachar. You're only Ba'al HaZachur. That's number one. In the other hand, if you're talking about a Zachar who is Ba'al, you never say Zachur, you only say Zachar. Because obviously, you cannot be an active rear end. And if that's the case, then Zachur is meaningful only as the receptacle of this act, right? Okay, so taking all of that into account, let's understand the Mishnah. So here it says, somebody who is Ba'al HaZachur, meaning so he is an active partner, or a behema, or for that matter, a woman who turns the animal into an active, I shouldn't say partner, because it's only true in English. The whole point over here is there is no partnership, but nonetheless, there's this genital act. Okay, so in those cases, you can ask, why in the world does the Torah say why in the world would you kill the animal? Or Vaharakta Taisha Vetabema, why in the world would you kill the animal? I mean, the animal is not possessed of das to choose or not to choose this kind of thing, and it's being manipulated by the Adam, and therefore, I mean, it may even be totally passive. So why would we stone the animal? Elo lefi sheba'ala Adam takalal yada, lefi chachamar hakatuv tisakel. Since a human came to this terrible error through this animal, so the Torah said it should be stoned. Now, this, remember, was the havamina that maybe a katan would also be included in some of the isurim, even though he was only used. Dover acher, but another possibility, is shalote beima overet peshuk, v'yomru zohi sheniskal ploni al yada. We don't want an animal to be walking down the marketplace, and all the kids are snickering and saying, see that animal? Well, that's why they stoned what's-his-name. Okay, so that would be a terrible bizoyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpid on the bizoyan even of Rishayim, as we saw by Bilam. The reason that that wonderful, amazing, talking ass was killed is because of the fact that it was a bizoyan to have outwitted the great philosopher Bilam. Who cares about that great philosopher Bilam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believe it or not. And therefore, says the Malach, Otcha rakti, I would have killed you instead. Now I had to kill her. Okay. Says the Gemara. So how do we know that a zohar is a chiev of a miskila? So the pasuk is, Isha sheishkav et zachar mishkevei isha, tueva asur shnehem, mot yumatu temehem bom. There we go. So let's analyze that entire pasuk. Ish asher yishkav. That means, an ish has to be an adult, prat lekatan. There's no chiyav misa on a katan. Asher yishkav et zachar, now this means any zachar, whether that zachar is a gadol or a katan. It doesn't say ish asher yishkav et ish zachar, it says ish asher yishkav et zachar. So we'll see that this is not absolutely true, because as we've explained before, the definition of genital connections is different in the Torah. And a zohar who may look like a male and has all the indications of being a male, according to the Torah, does not have genitals under a particular age. Now we'll see what that age is as we go along. But this teaches us that the age in terms of being chayev as a bar mitzvah or not is irrelevant if he is the one who is being sodomized. Mishkevei isha. Now, why in the world do we talk about mishkevei isha? It would be pretty difficult to figure out how to sleep with a male if we were looking for anything but his rear end. What in the world would be sleeping with a male anyway? So why does the Torah talk about mishkevei isha the way you would sleep with a woman? I got news for you. It ain't the way you would sleep with a woman, is it? Ah, but that's the whole point. The point is, you don't think of an anus as genitals. However, the Torah is here teaching you a chiddush. Since I'm calling mishkevei zachar the way in which you sleep with a woman, that teaches us that, in fact, it doesn't matter whether you would be sleeping with a woman if a normal bia kidarka, or you would be sleeping with a woman and bia shalo kidarka. That would be considered to be a sexual act with genitals. And even though your doctor may tell you, I got news for you, anuses are not connected to your genitals, unless you happen to be Dr. Freud, but in the Torah, they are. And therefore, Magid Lecha Katuv, Shishnei Mishkavot Be'isha, there are two ways to actually sleep sexually with genitals with a woman. Omar Rabbi Shmuel, this is remarkable. It's another example of Areze Bala Lamed V'nimtza Lamed. The Torah here sounded like, don't sleep mishkevei isha with a male. It sounded like it's trying to tell you the way in which you're not supposed to sleep with a male. But it isn't really, because you'd have to have an awfully powerful imagination to come up with some other way, or maybe a drill of some kind, to figure out how else you're supposed to sleep with a male. But the point is, it was really coming to teach me the din about sleeping with women and utilizes this case to teach me that din. So what appeared to be a learning out to is actually a learning out from. So it's Bala Lamed, and in the end, Nimtza Lamad. Then continues the Pasuk, Mot Yomato. Well, that must mean Biskila. Who says? Ataomer Biskila. O Eno Elabachat Mikol Mitot Amorot Torah. And once again, we have our favorite standby here. Demehem Bam, Nema Kan Demehem Bam, Nema Ba'oviadoni Demehem Bam, Mala Halan Biskila, Afkan Biskila. Now, this teaches us that you're Chayev Skila. But where did it say not to sleep with a male? Well, that is also a pasuk in, of course, this one is in Achremot. And there it says, Ve'et zachar lo tishkav mishkevei isha to'evahi. Okay, so this teaches us that a person should not be an active partner with a male. Now, how do we know that the nishkav, how do we know that the passive partner is also considered to be engaged in a sexual act? Talmud lomar, lo yeh kadesh mibnei Yisrael. So since the Torah puts together this din of kidesha, lo yeh kadesha, a kadesha is very clearly always used in the Torah as a prostitute. If it turns that word into a male gender, then it means the same thing. There shouldn't be a male prostitute. So lo yeh kadesh mibnei Yisrael must also mean a mishkav zachur. And I can prove it to you, because we find the lashon of kadesh expressed actually in the Nevi'im, in Melachim. So over there it says, v'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz, that in those days there used to be a kadesh. And it explains, what does that mean, a kadesh? Asu kechola tu'evot ha'goyim, asher orish Hashem. This is someone who does all of the tu'evot that were done by the goyim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw out of Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to clear out Eretz Yisrael for you. So then that means that the lashon of the tu'eva is defining the act of the kadesh. And since it says to'evahi with the etzachar lo tishkav, that teaches us the azorah, the very Rebbe Yishmael. Rebbe Akiva, you don't need all of that. If you take a look at the pasuk in Achremot, etzachar lo tishkav mishkevei isha, that word tishkav can be read in both ways. It can be read lo tishkav, and it can be read also kribe lo tishachev. You should not allow yourself to be part of that relationship. Either that means either lo tishkav or lo tishachev. It means, according to Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see that this makes a big nafkamina la halacha, because according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the same iser from the same word read different ways, to be the nishkav or to be the shochev. And that would mean that you would only be chayev one chatas. And we're going to see that distinction in a few minutes. Now, how do we know that there is a chiyev skila for somebody who actually has this relationship? I don't want to call it sex, because in the Torah we're distinguishing that, but has this genital relationship with a behema. The Tana Rabbana. Again, let's take a look at the pasuk. V'ish asher yiten shchafto b'vehima, mot yumat ve'et ha'behima ta'arogu. So over there, it says beferish the same thing. Ish, that means a katan, is not chayev. Asher yiten shchafto b'vehima, this means the animal can be of any age. There's no definition of the animal's genitals in terms of ages. And when it says mot yumat, that must mean biskila. Biskila? Says who? Ata omer biskila? It could be anything. O eina ela beachat mikol mitot amorot batorah? Nemar kan tarogu, v'nemar lahalon ki arog targenu? So when we're talking about the mesit to do avodas krechovim, it says over there, harog targenu, that same word there clearly meant skila, as it says beferish ba'avanim. So here too, when it says targenu, it means beskila. Okay, this teaches us that someone who is a shochev is going to be chayev skila. But how do we know that someone who is a nishkav, the passive partner, Talmud Lomar, kol shochev im behema mot yumat. Now, it already said this idea here. I mean, this is talking about in Mishpatim, it's that, I don't know, in the middle of nowhere, Machashefa lo techaye, kol shochev im behema mot yumat. It doesn't say over there, it says anybody that has this copulation with a behema dies. But I already know that if you're the active partner, it says already here in Akrei Mos and in Kedoshim what the din is. And therefore, imeno inyan l'shochev, it can't be telling me the din of being the active partner. It must be adding, therefore, tadeo inyan l'nishkav. So anyone who is sleeping with an animal would be chayev. That means we now know the mot yumat, kol shochevim beima mot yumat, so we know that there is an onesh, yes, whether it's for the shochev, whether it's for the nishkav, that we saw from Kedoshim and from Mishpatim. How do we know that you're not supposed to do this? Where is the asara? Talmud lomar, uvchol beima, lo titen shchavtecha letamaba. This tells us, lo titen shchavtecha. That idea is lamadnu in Akrei Mos the azara leshochev lo titen shechoftecha. How do we know that if you are a passive, I would say partner, but again, you're basically allowing this animal to penetrate you? That's a nishkav. How do we know that that is also included? Talmud lomar lo yiye kadesh mibnei Yisrael, and it says gam kadesh hayah ba'aretz, and it compares all of the toevot to each other, and therefore being a prostitute to an animal is also aser. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Now we're going to see later that this is not for real. Rabbi Yishmael does not consider this to be really part of Lotia Kadesh. And that's because you can extend the concept of prostitution in terms of sexuality for hired female, from hired females to hired males. Yes. But you cannot extend a concept of prostitution to an animal where the concept of sexual relationships doesn't apply at all. And Kadesh never means genital relationships. It always means sexual relationships. So in the end, we're going to see Rabbi Shmuel was just taking the easy way out and using this pasuk, but he doesn't really believe this for a minute. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need any extra pasuk. When it says lo titen shechoftecha, it means lo titen shechivatcha. Don't allow yourself to be part of a shchiva. That would be either by being active or by being passive. Don't allow that shchiva to take place. Therefore, it includes both active and passive animal relationships. Okay, so that means we've got these tremendous machlokas in about what is the azara to the zohar. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, we were talking about this Kadesh. According to Rabbi Akiva, we were talking about a way of reading the pasuk. Lo tishkav is lo tishachev. Is there a difference, la halacha? Absolutely. Suppose someone was baal hazachar ve'hevi alav zachar. So somebody had both an active relationship with a male and a passive relationship with a male. According, says Rabbi Abo, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you would be chayev two separate korbanos. One was lo tishkav, and that was being the active partner, and one was lo yiyeh kadesh, which according to him was the marker of not being a male prostitute, meaning ready for sleeping with other males, as the woman. L'divrei Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd only be chayav one chatas, because lo tishkav is actually lo tishachev, and it's all the same word as the same pasuk, and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, you'd be chayev only one. Now, there was also a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva about the nishkav with an animal, and therefore, says Rabbi Avu, you'd find the same difference there. Habala beima, vevi beima, I love. Omer Rabbi Avu, l'divrei Rabbi Shmuel, you'd be chayev shtayim. And one is lo titen shechoftecha, and one was, if we take Rabbi Shmuel at his word, one was lo yeh kadesh. But according to Rabbi Akiva, shechavtecha also meant shchivatecha. And therefore, you would only be chayiv once, because it just means not to be in a relationship of shchiva. It doesn't matter active or passive. And because of that, you'd only be chayiv one. Abaye says, nah, come on, you can't really believe that Rabbi Yishmael meant lo yeh kadesh as the mocker for being a prostitute for an animal. There's no such concept. There's no znus lebehima. We know that there's no znus lebehima. How do we know that? Because when the Torah asers bringing a korban from either, listen to this, either an etnan zona or a mechir kelev. Now, you could have an etnan for the kelev and a mechir of a zona, couldn't you? But the truth is, no, you can't. The point is, it's only an etnan, which is the payment that is made for sexual services. You can only have an etnan to a human zona. When it comes to ossering something through an animal, it would only be the price of the animal, not the price that you paid in order to be able to sleep with the animal. So you see from there that an animal is not considered to be the same as a human when it comes to sexual services. And if that's the case, we can't call a kadesh anything that has to do with an animal. So therefore, Rabbi Yishmael obviously didn't mean that, says Abaye. When it said lo yeh kadesh, it was only talking about humans, was not talking about animals. Okay, Abaye, so how does Rabbi Yishmael know the Azara Lenishkav if he doesn't derive it from lo yeh kadesh? Well, he actually says, what does it mean in Mishpatim when it says, Kol shochev imima mot yumat? We already know that from the Pasuk in Kedashim. So therefore, it's coming to tell me, im eino inyan l'shochev, teneo inyan l'nishkav. Okay, so that means you cannot be a passive partner with an animal. But then why not say so? Why say kol shochev? Ah, avke rachmana l'nishkav b'loshet shochev. Therefore, the Torah specifies the lashon as if we were talking about the active partner, but really, we see clearly we must be talking about the passive partner. It's to tell me that just like the shochev, we have both the azara and the einesh, af nishkav, anash vizir. So that is coming to tell me the iser of the nishkav. Now, how about someone who was nirva lezocher and nirva lebehema? So he is sodomized by a male and by an animal. How many separate chataot would he be chayit? Amar Rabbi Abba over here also, there's a machlokas, because according to the way Rabbi Akiva learned, he would be chayit two separate chataot. One was lo tishkav, im zachar lo tishkav, which he understands to be tishachev, and the other is lo titen shechav techa, which he also learns to mean any type of position. According to Rabbi Yishmael, he would only be chayiv one. Now this is still Rabbi Avu stuck on Rabbi Yishmael's words of lo yeh kadesh. So he thinks that Rabbi Yishmael literally meant lo yeh kadesh in reference to an animal, and therefore he says you'd only be chayiv one. Because whether you were the prostitute, so to speak, to another male, or a prostitute to an animal, it would be lo yeh kadesh. Whereas Abaye says the same thing he said a moment ago. There's no such thing as prostitution with animals, for heaven's sakes. Afilu ledivrei Rabbi Yishmael, nami, you'd only be chayiv. You would be chayiv two separate chatos because it wasn't for real that he was learning it from lo yeh kadesh, and he learns it from kol shochev imima mot yumat, which, as we said, is completely unnecessary. And if it means literally shochev, it means im eino inyan l'shochev tneu inyan l'nishkav, as we said before. And the reason the Torah uses the language of shochev as if you were the one who was active is to tell me, just like the shochev, there was both an onesh and an azhara, so to the nishkav, there's both an onesh and an azhara. But in a case where he was baal azachur, Note the difference here. Here's where Rashi makes the difference. Habala zachur. When you're sleeping with a male, it has nothing to do with the person. It has to do with the orifice. And therefore, we talk about the zechur, says Rashi. Or hevi zachar alav, there it's the person, the male, as opposed to a rear end, which happens to belong to a male. That's called zechur. So avala bala zechur, vevi zachar alav, together with habala beima, vevi beima alav, there you would be chayef three, whether you hold like Abaye, that Rabbi Shmuel never meant to say Kadesh includes animals, or whether you hold like Rabbi Abohu, who takes Rabbi Shmuel to mean literally Lo Ye Kadesh, would cover both cases. So Bein Rabbi Abohu, Bein Abaye, you'd still end up, according to Rabbi Shmuel, being Chayev Shalosh, and according to Rabbi Akiva, you would only be Chayev Shtayim. Because according to Rabbi Abo, sleeping with the zachar is the iser of a zachar lo tishkav. If you were the passive partner, you'd be over on lo ye kadesh. When he sleeps with that animal, he would be over on that lo tishkav kol behema. And you're right, there's no additional iser to have the animal penetrate you, because that, according to Rabbi Abo, is the same Isser of Lo Ye Kadesh. According to Abaye, the first ones are, in fact, yes, Zachar Lo Tishkav Lo Ye Kadesh, just like Rabbi Abo said. When he sleeps with an animal, he's going to be Chayev because of Lo Tishkav with Kol Beima Lo Tishkav. Fine. But according to him, there is no other Isser of Lo Ye Kadesh. Instead, I know that with the Lashon, a same exact Pasuk, the Lo Tishkav, as we just said. So that means they're both agreeing there'd only be three Chataot, but they wouldn't be the same three Chataot. Tanur Rabbanan, another thing to recognize is that when it comes to the relationship with a Zachur, and again, remember, Zachur is an orifice. There, it's not the same. The age of that male orifice is not the same. There is a katan and there is a gadol. Now, this does not refer to katan the gadol in terms of onashim. It refers to katan the gadol in terms of the definition of genitals. What that definition is, we'll see as a machloket. But when it comes to an animal, over there, it makes absolutely no difference. The age of the animal does not affect the definition of its genitalia. Okay, so then what is that? Zachar katan, zachur katan, I should say. What is the age of a zachur katan? Now, this is fascinating, because normally when we talk about the shiur of the genitals of a male, we're always talking about the penis of a male. And that would be 9 years old. And we said, any penis that's not 9 years old, believe it or not, may look like one, may act in certain ways like one, but it's essentially a broom handle. And therefore, it's not considered to be a genital act at all. But now the question is, if I've extended an anus to be a genital, well, I mean, is that the same 9 years old? I mean, anuses are sort of irrelevant, the age. So maybe the fact that the Torah compared over here, the Mishkevei Isha, remember, when we're talking about the anus, we're talking about the equivalent of a woman. That's the point. So then, is it the same shear of 9 years old? Or does it become the shear of a woman? A woman's genitals are defined from the age of three, not from the age of nine. So maybe the male passive, zachur, would be defined from the age of three. And in fact, that is a machlokas. So Omar Rav, the difference between a katan and a gadol is the difference between the age of 9 years and less than 9 years. So lo asu bi'at pachot bi'ben tesha shanim ke'ben tesha shanim. So someone who would sleep with a young male less than 9 years old would not be engaged in any type of genital relationship. And therefore, it's nothing that has to do with the parsha of Arayot. Masha Inken Shmuel says, no, lo asu bia pachot mi ben shalosh shanim ke ben shalosh shanim. The question there would be completely different, because since it's Mishkevei Isha, as we'll see, it should have the same din as an Isha. So that's 3 years old. What's the basis of the Machlokes Rav Savar called the Ite B'Shochev, Ite B'Nishkav? Rav says, look, basically there was one shiur to define the ability of this individual to engage in genital acts. So he'd have to be capable of the genital act of penetration in order to be capable of the genital act of being penetrated. If we define that as 9 years old, so that's 9 years old. And kodolete b'shochev, if he cannot penetrate because he's not 9 years old and he only possesses broom handles, so then lesa b'nishkav, he also is not able to be penetrated, because what looks to you like exactly the same as any other anus is actually just a hole in the wall, and it is not considered to be a genital anus. Shmuel Savar, since it's learned from Mishkevei Isha, it has all of the dinim of the Isha. Okay, we're over time here, so I'll cut it here, even though we're smack bang in the middle. Although, you know what? I mean, we're too late to start the mikvos, so maybe we should just say the Tanik Avosa here, because it's mamish a continuation. So let me just give me another few minutes. So Tanya Kavase de Rav, actually, Rav's din, that 9 years of age, is true in both directions, we find in a Braita. Zachar ben Teisha Shanim v'yom Echad, and that is a 9-year-old, Haba al Habehema, ben Kedarka, ben Shelo Kedarka. That is clear about Rav, but here's the rest of the Braita. Habala behima ben kedarka ben shelo kedarka, or isha miviata behima aleha ben kedarka ben shelo kedarka. So if someone sodomizes an animal, there it would not matter whether he penetrates that animal vaginally or he penetrates the anus of that animal. And the same thing is true vice versa. A woman who is miviata behima aleha, so a woman who has an animal penetrate her, whether that would be vaginally or anally, ben kedarka ben shelo kedarka, would be chayev for the behema. So that would mean that the zachar is defined by needing to be 9 years old, but an animal is just an animal with its genitals of whatever age. Darash Reb Nachman bar Rav Chisda, well, here, Reb Nachum bar Rav Chisda says something that seems to run against us. He says, "Beisha shnei mishkavot." We learned out from the pasuk of Mishkavei Isha that there are two ways of sleeping with a woman, and both of them are called proper genitals, and therefore are a sexual relationship. But by a behema, if a behema is sodomized, there's only one way to go. And it doesn't say anywhere that an animal can be sodomized anally. So, bebeima mishkav echad. Says Rav Papa, it's just the opposite. Adarabah, you would think that a woman has norms in how it is that she is going to be involved in intercourse, right? I mean, you would say that the norm would be for her, isha du'urchahi. Over there, it would be reasonable to say that she is only chayev in normal type of intercourse. But in some other strange intercourse where she's penetrated by this animal anally, since when is her anus defined as, even with an animal, something that is a genital? But for an animal, there's no norms in terms of intercourse with humans. So behema de lav urchahi, then it makes more sense to say, yeah, look, the animal is basically a hole in the wall. What's the difference? L'chayev alara kol nekev enekev. Wherever there's an opening, there's some kind of orifice. Okay, if the Torah is now defining this as an act, not a sexual act, but a genital act, so then it should be the other way around. There it shouldn't matter. In fact, both of these approaches are wrong because of the braisa that we just said. Tanya Zachar ben Teshashanim v'yom echad, or Habala Beima ben Kedarka ben Shalom Kedarka, so this could be a full-grown or 9 years old, and he sleeps with an animal no matter what, or a woman who actually gets an animal to penetrate her, ben Kedarka ben Shalom Kedarka, chayav. This means, no matter what, as we just saw, both Rav Nachman Bar Chista and Rav Papa are wrong. There is no difference between Kedarka, Lo Kedarka, whether we're talking about the Behima or we're talking about the Isha. Meanwhile, we brought that same Braisa to be a Raya that the Shear of the Zohar is Ben Tesh Hashanim V'Yom Echad, and it wouldn't matter in what direction. Now, the truth is, we have to bring a clear-cut Raya to a male being penetrated by an animal, because what we've seen up until here was a female. Isha lo ta'amod lifnei ha-beima liriv'a. That will clarify tomorrow, together with further understanding of what the nature of these relationships are in the Torah. Sorry for taking so long, but listen, we started all the way on Amud Beis, managed to get our stovepipe Mishnah, continued on to the next daf. We did pretty good for doing 8 daf in one day. So, okay. Wishing you, meanwhile, a wonderful week and looking forward to being able to get back to our mikvaot, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Kol Tov and Besirot Tovot to all.